to the beach this week. We took about 30 of us to the beach, and it was a real cloudy day. We all got sunburned. So remember, you know, I've always heard it said, if you know, the cloudy days are the ones where you get burned the most. It's true, because nobody put on suntan lotion. So anyhow, that's just my little words of wisdom before I start. I know. Is that what I got to do? I mean, the lights are right on me. So we're going to continue in the Alone series. As we remember, 500 years ago this year, Martin Luther nailed his 95 thesis to the church door, and it sparked the Reformation. And the reformers were concerned that the church was drifting away from the truths, the central truths of Christianity and the gospel. And the question was, well, how does one be saved? How can sinful man ever hope to have a relationship with a holy God? And drifting is such a good word, I think. And that's why these teachings are so important, because we drift all the time. We tend to drift away from the truth of the gospel, away from the central teachings of Christianity, because that's who we are, right? We just naturally wander away. So we are truth drifters. That's what I'm going to call you all this morning, truth drifters. And I'm going to try to realign us. Drifting reminds me of a story. At our summer camp, Victory Jam, that's our middle school camp. We go down to Harvey Cedars Bible Conference. How many people have been to Harvey Cedars Bible Conference? Come on, let me see. It's quite a few of us, yeah. So we go down there. We have our summer camp for middle schoolers. We're taking about 50 students there next week. So just be praying that the Lord meets them there. Pray for safety and fun and all that good stuff. But back in the day, they used to play this game. It was manhunt, find the counselors, right? So all the counselors would hide, and the kids would break into teams, and they'd have to go out and find the counselors, and they would get points for the counselors they find. Well, some really smart counselors decided, hey, let's get on the inner tubes and sit in the bay. They'll never find us there, right? So they're like, hey, we're so smart. And they get in the inner tube, and next thing they know, they're like a half mile out to sea, and they're like trying to paddle back in. Hey, the kids never found them, but we actually had to go out and rescue them because they had drifted so far away. We don't actually play that game anymore at Victory Jam. But we too are spiritual drifters, and the current, our own current, drags us away from the truth of the gospel, away from the truths of Christianity, and we begin to believe and we begin to act on things that aren't true. And we end up paddling under our own efforts, relying on our own strength, and we miss out on the beauty of the gospel and who we are in Christ. So my goal this morning is to remind us of these great truths. Pastor Billy's been using this sentence that came out of the Reformation. We are made right with God by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, as He is revealed in the Scriptures alone, to the glory of God alone. And this morning we'll be talking about sola fide, which is grace alone, and we'll be looking at Galatians 2. And before I begin, I just want to start, Billy did a super job of laying out some things that we have to know. You know, you have to understand that you need to be made right with God. If you don't understand that, then the rest of the sermon is pretty much moot for you. God is holy. God is just. That is who He is. He must punish sin, not because He's some great dictator, but that's who He is. That is His person. Every single sin, every single injustice, God must punish. He must make right, because that's who He is. And the Scriptures teaches us the punishment for sin, the wages of sin is death, physical death, spiritual death, eternal death. We're in trouble. We are in it deep because we are sinners. What can we do? How can we be saved? So we have to understand this morning, that we are in that position. We need to be made right with God. We need to be justified. And if you don't understand that, please come and talk to me, talk to Billy, talk to one of the elders. Because you have to understand that we need to be made right with God, or our punishment is eternal death. And then, as we get that foundation, well, how do we become right with God? And that's what we're going to talk about today in Galatians 2. And that's what they're talking about. How can we be justified? How can we be saved? In the church at Galatia, there was a group of teachers who were teaching that faith comes from Jesus. Yes, salvation comes from faith in Jesus. But also, they were mixing in some Jewish customs and ceremonies as well. As a matter of fact, even the Apostle Peter got involved with that, where he pulled back out of eating with the Gentiles because of this. So Paul, right before this verse, had to admonish Peter and say, you have forgotten the gospel. If the Apostle Peter forgets the gospel, we probably might too, right? So that's why we need to be reminded. So let's read together in your Bibles, Galatians 2. We're going to be looking at verses 15 through 21. We ourselves, this is Paul writing, are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners. Yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by works of the law no one will be justified. But if in our endeavor to be justified in Christ, we too were found to be sinners, is Christ then a servant of sin? Certainly not. For if I rebuild what I tore down, I prove myself to be a transgressor. For through the law I died to the law, so that I might live to God. But Christ, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these words. Lord, we confess we easily drift away from you. Bring us back this morning. Remind us of the great truth of the gospel, that we are justified not by what we do, but by faith in Christ. Teach us this morning through your word, through your spirit. We need to hear from you. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. So that first verse there, we are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners. Yet we know a person is not justified by the works of the law. I don't know if there's any Jews in here by birth or not. Paul is talking about, of course, his people and the fact that the Jews were the chosen people. They had the revelation of the Old Testament. They had the laws, the ceremonial laws, the civil law. They had the moral law. They were the receivers of God's special revelation. They were the people that were called to bless all the nations. But what Paul figured out is that even with all of this, it still was not enough to earn their salvation. They knew that they could not keep the law. The law was not the way to be made right with God. But here they are. Now they're teaching the Gentiles who had none of that. They had none of that history. They had none of that. But here they are. Now they're teaching the Gentiles, okay, well, we know you can't be justified by the law, but we need you to do this and this and this, and that proves you're a Christian. So they were adding on these extra things, even though they knew that it meant nothing. Right? And that's crazy thinking. There's a softball game up here on Sunday. Ronnie pointed that out. Blue versus red. Come out and support the blue team. But, you know, anybody can pretty much play on the softball team. All you got to do is sign up. Come to church here and just come to the game. You don't even need to bring a glove. Sometimes we have gloves for you. But anyway, what would it be like if the coaches of the team got together and said, yeah, this year we're only taking guys that can run the bases in 20 seconds or less? I mean, the coaches can't do that. That's hypocritical. That's crazy thinking. But that's kind of what they were doing, though. They were putting this extra stuff on the Gentile people. Why? I'm not sure. But they were requiring them to do more to be accepted as Christians. But then Paul writes, but we know a person is not justified by the works of the law. So let's look at that word justification. When I first heard this word justification, I was taught that justification meant just as if I never sinned. Yes, you guys have heard that before, right? And that's not bad, but it's not complete enough. Justification means in Christ, even though we are sinners, we are not condemned. Hallelujah. God accepts us despite our sin. Now, we are not acceptable to God because we become righteous. We are righteous because we are acceptable to God. J.I. Packer says it this way. To justify in the Bible means to declare of a man on trial that he is not liable to any penalty, but is entitled to all the privileges due to those who have kept the law. Justifying is the act of a judge pronouncing the opposite sentence to condemnation. The opposite sentence. That of acquittal and legal immunity. It is a legal pronouncement. You are not guilty, and not only are you not guilty, you are completely righteous. You have followed the law. You have met all the requirements. So that's what justification is saying. I like that word, legal immunity. It makes me think of the show Survivor. You guys might like that show. It's been on forever. I think I was like 10 when it first came on. All right, maybe not 10, maybe 20 or 30. Okay. Anyhow, but they have this thing called the immunity necklace. And if you have the immunity necklace, you're safe. You are untouchable. You cannot be voted off the island. You are immune. And if God has declared that you are legally immune, you cannot be prosecuted. You cannot be condemned. You have been justified once and for all. That's it. You are untouchable. Do you know that today? Well, Tim, I don't understand. How can I be untouchable? You said, holy God, sinful man, and now there's just some crazy necklace that you put on? Is that how you can be justified? No. But God can't overlook sin, can he? Of course not. But we know that Jesus Christ, who was perfect, who has the immunity necklace, he did everything right, that he took that necklace off and he put it on you and me. And that because of what Christ has done, I am immune. I am justified. Jesus took my punishment and he gave me his righteousness. He earned it for me. He gave it to me. I am free. I am not condemned. That's the gospel. Amen. So we are justified by faith in Christ. So I want to look at this word faith for a minute because I think it's kind of easy to misunderstand that. It's that drifting again. We're so prone. All right, I'm justified by faith, but we drift away and be like, well, I got to do this and I got to do that and I got to prove that and I got to prove that. Then God will accept me. No, you are justified by faith. And it's interesting, if we even take of the word faith, what would American Christians define faith as? Well, believing in God, that's faith, right? Well, back in the old days, everybody believed in God, right? Or almost everybody. So it meant more than just believing in God. It meant it has something to do with one's relationship to God. Can you see the difference there? The faith in, yeah, I believe there's a God, versus faith in having a relationship and trusting in God. That difference is enormous. Where the first, I believe in that there's a God, leaves us unchanged. But a faith of trusting in this God is the thing that changes us from the inside out. So what I propose is that there is actually a faith that can leave us unchanged. And that faith can be a faith in oneself. My faith is strong. My faith got me through that really hard time. It was my faith. Or it can be more like, well, it's all going to work out. I have faith in that. Everything happens for a reason, right? I have faith in that. It's all going to work out. Well, I did really good things today, so I have faith that it's going to be a good day. So, you see, we play this kind of faith game where our faith is in faith, but it's not in the person of Jesus Christ. And the difference is enormous. Do not put your faith in faith. Put your faith in something greater than faith, in the person of Jesus Christ. We have Christ Himself. Let me break it down again. Just what is faith? Let's think of it in three categories. Faith involves three different categories. Knowledge. You know, some people think, well, Christianity is just blind faith. You just take a walk off this. No, it's not. We believe in a set of knowledge, right? We have the Scriptures. We understand that there's a God. It's historical. Jesus Christ came. He came to save us. We have all this knowledge. Okay, so it requires that. And then assent is not just knowledge, but then we must agree. Yes, I do believe in what the Scriptures say. I do believe there's a God. I do believe I'm a sinner. I do believe that Christ paid my sins. So there's knowledge and there's assent, but we need the third piece. We need the third piece. We need the trust. You have to act on this knowledge. Christ is my only hope. I trust Him. Example, here's a chair. I have knowledge of a chair. A chair is a seat. It's something we sit on. Usually it has four legs to support people. That's what a chair is. I agree that this is a chair. I believe this is a chair. That's the assent. I have the knowledge and I agree. But now I must put my faith. I sit in the chair. I trust the chair. So that's faith. It involves all three of those steps. Thank you, chair. You did very, very well for us. Faith is not just knowledge, my friends. It's not even just agreeing to a set of facts. It's trusting. Trusting the person of Jesus Christ. And again, that becomes difficult. Trusting is hard. We like to trust ourselves. We have to apprehend Christ and make Him our own and know that we are justified. We are justified by our faith. But then you might ask, well, how strong does my faith need to be, Tim? Because I know a lot of us wish we had stronger faith and our faith is weak and I wish I had more faith. How strong does it have to be? Well, again, our faith is not in how strong I think my faith is, right? Our faith is in the person of Christ. The famous preacher Charles Spurgeon was asked, how strong does one's faith need to be saved? And this was his answer. Faith as thin as a spider's thread will save a person as long as that thread is rooted in Christ. Our strength of faith does not save us. It is who or what our faith is in that saves us. We are justified by faith. We receive what Christ has done for us by faith. And guys, I need to be reminded of that every single day. Because I forget. I wake up and I forget. I need to grab a hold of that. If you feel your sins and the burdens and just the weight of that in the morning, remember, it has been transferred to Christ. You are free. You are not condemned. This will change you. Never confuse your perception of who you think you are with the fact that you are accepted. Never confuse the perception of who you think you are with the fact that you are accepted. That is saving faith, my friends. Where there is no faith and there is no Christ, there is no forgiven, there's no forgiveness, and our sins are counted against us. And when a person walks in their own righteousness and they trust themselves and they're motivated by their own performance, they have forgotten the gospel. That's what Paul mentions in verse 18. He says, if I rebuild what I tore down, meaning if I go back to the law after I tore down the law, I do not understand the gospel. We must guard against this, my friends, because that's what we want to do. We want to prove ourselves. We want to prove that we are acceptable. We want to do right. We want people to look at us. So again, it's that we drift away from this justification by faith and we say, yeah, I'm justified by faith, but look what I can do. Look at how good I am. Guard against that because you're slipping into untruth. I love that song, prone to wander, Lord. I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Let us center ourselves on the gospel. We need the gospel every day. I think we even get confused that, well, who's a Christian? A Christian is not a person who has no sin. A Christian is a person who has the righteousness by faith. And that's why we need to hear the gospel over and over and over again. Because, well, isn't a Christian a person that knows all about the Bible? Isn't a Christian a person that does all the right things and says all the right things? A person can't be a Christian and struggle with sin, can they? They can't do these kinds of things and be a Christian. They can't think these kinds of things and be a Christian. Yes, they can. Yes, they can. We need daily reminders. And my friends, I know you feel like I do, where sometimes our sin and the world and the devil, and we're just hearing that voice of accusation, you're not good enough, God doesn't like you, you are outside God's favor. We accuse, accuse, and accuse. That's when we look to faith in Christ. He conquered all of that. We have the assurance of Christ. We have the treasure of Christ. We have Christ Himself. Through faith in Christ, all that is His is ours. We have grace. We have peace. We have forgiveness. We have salvation. We have eternal life, all given through faith alone, not because of what we've done, but what Christ has done for us. We need to grab hold of that every day because the current is pulling us away from that. We need the gospel daily. So then how do we live by faith? Paul says this in the last couple verses here. For through the law, I died to the law so that I might live to God. I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. We have died to the law. We are now able to live for God. Just think of Paul. He was so zealous. He wanted to know God. He followed every single law to the point where he was killing Christians because he thought that was right, because he wanted to please God. And then he realized the law is not the answer. The law is dead to him. It's been crucified. The law is powerless over him. Of course, then it gets a little confusing here because he says, I no longer live. And then in the very next verse, it says, I who live. Well, which one is it? It's both, right? Yeah. The answer is always both. Remember that. Okay. Yeah, it's both. So in one sense, it is Christ's life because Christ's history is Paul's history. Christ's history is your history. Christ's history is my history. What he did is mine. His righteousness is my righteousness. So it is not me, but it is Christ who lives. But then, there's also the choices that I make, the things that I do. I live by faith in Christ, who loved me and gave His life for me. This is the motivation of the Christian life. Not to be good, but to understand who I am. I am holy. I am loved. I belong to Christ who gave Himself for me. And because of that, I have the power to live for Him. Instead of living to gain favor, you live out of gratitude. Our acceptance by faith leads us into living by faith and living in love. This is the fuel to elevate your soul, to lift you out of the blues. This is true. Believe in your heart. God has cleansed you. Throw off your sin and act without doubt that you belong to Him. Faith in Christ cleanses us and it grows us. It changes us. We really can live for Him. We really can live for His priorities because of what He has done for us. Man, Paul is drilling this. This must be important. I got to remind you guys one more time. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. We need to hear it, Daily Drifters. We need to hear it. If we could gain righteousness in any other way, then Christ died for nothing. And we know that Christ did not die for nothing. He died for you and He died for me so that we could wear the immunity necklace. Do not be a grace nullifier. Accept the truth. Believe the truth. Live the truth. It's glorious. I'm going to close with this. In the book of Revelation, there's a scene of a multitude and they're praising Jesus and they're waving palm branches. I'm not sure why palm branches, but they're waving palm branches. They're living in the presence of God. And I look down the line. Wait a minute. There's prostitutes in the line. There's drug users in the line. There's sex addicts in the line. There's thieves in the line. And I see myself in that line too. But how? God, how did those people get in the line? They have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. We must do so too. By grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, to the glory of God alone. Amen. Let's pray. Father, these truths are too great for us. Help us to grasp them, Lord. Remind us of the good news of the gospel and help us when we drift away, when we get discouraged, when we think we are outside your love and care for us. Lord, help us not to listen to the voices of accusation. Help us to remember who we are in Jesus. Thank you for what you have done for us. Thank you so much. And Lord, through what you've done for us, may that motivate us to live for you. Continue to do your work in us, we pray. Amen.
Father, indeed, this is what we would agree with in our mind and indeed place our faith in, that it is in you, Jesus Christ. You are the only rock on which we stand. Would you strengthen our faith that we might cling more firmly to you, Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Amen. Will you hear the benediction, the good word from Revelation chapter 1? To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priest to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. This concludes our worship service this morning. You join us for a time of fellowship and fellowship hall. And parents, will you please be prompt in picking up your children this morning so that our child care workers can join us for fellowship as well.